Alrighty, I'm about to get started here with my message for today. And the way I'm going to introduce the message is by telling you that as I was driving north yesterday from Washington, it usually takes me about 4.5 hours to get to Pittsburgh where my parents are, and I stayed with them last night. But yesterday it took about 7 hours due to the snow. We got a little bit more snow down in the Washington area. And again, getting out of Washington on a Friday is really treacherous, and it's a pain anyway because of all the traffic. But it took about 3 hours longer to get out and get back home to Pittsburgh last night. And I tell you that because telling you that takes a little bit off of me, a little bit of the stress that I was feeling yesterday or whatever it was. By me acknowledging that to you, I lose a little bit of that stress that I felt yesterday by giving that to you, in a sense, or telling you about that. And I want to talk about what I'll say is being complete today. So if there's a title for the sermon, it's called Being Complete, and it's going to deal with not only confessing to God, but also acknowledging things to each other, and just fellowshipping with each other, talking to each other, getting that stuff out when we need to get it out. Because if we don't get it out, it can become toxic within us. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that subject today. Now, when we look at this concept of being complete, if you read anything relating to psychology, you may hear of this terminology. And someone may say out there, well, oh, he's going to talk about psychology now. I don't believe in psychology. I don't like what those psychologists tell us. And I hear what you're saying, but some of the things that psychologists tell us today come right out of your Bible. And I'm going to prove that to you today. So all psychology is not wrong or bad or evil, okay? In fact, some of it is related to the pages of your Bible. The psychologists, psychiatrists have discovered things through the different therapies they use that relate to some things that are right in the Bible. From thousands of years ago, we have this information that Freud or others discovered, say, 100 years ago, or think they discovered only 100 years ago. So I want to touch on a little bit of that as we get into this discussion. And I'm going to do it with a little story to start things off. And this story comes from an abnormal psychology book that I had while I was in college. And it was the story of a woman named Patty. And Patty was a woman probably in her 30s or early 40s who was having terrible headaches. She was suffering terrible headaches for a long period of time, and she couldn't figure out what these headaches were related to. So she went to a number of doctors to try to figure out what the problem was. What was the genesis of these headaches? And by going to medical doctors, they couldn't find out what the problem was. They didn't have any answers for her. So she went to psychologists, psychiatrists, and tried that route. And they took her through something called psychodynamic therapy, where you understand your present condition based upon your past. Okay? And in talking to her therapist, she started to discuss, you know, growing up and what it was like to grow up in her family, and that her father was sometimes violent with the mother. So little things started coming out about her early life and her early family experience. And in this discussion that she'd had trying to look at her past, she found, the doctor found out that the father had left the family when she was about 4 years old. He was a womanizer. He was a drunkard. Various problems that he had, but she still couldn't latch on to whatever that issue was because she was still experiencing these headaches. So to make a long story short, by gaining the respect of the doctor, she was able to open up more with this particular individual. And then finally one day, as the doctor asked her more questions, more probing questions about her father, she finally just came out with it that she had been molested by her father. And she wasn't sure how that just came out all of a sudden. And you've heard these stories before where people don't recollect some things that happened to them when they were children. And, you know, that goes so far. I wouldn't say that everybody who says that experiences that, but I do believe that some people do experience that, where they don't remember certain things that occurred in their early childhood because of the trauma that was involved with those experiences. So what happened with Patty here was that once she put all this out there, she noticed that her headaches went away. She was not experiencing the headaches with the severity or the intensity that she had before. And again, you can say, well, that was the reason. You might argue, well, maybe it wasn't the reason. I'm not here to argue one way or the other. I'm here to try to build a case about opening up, acknowledgement, confession, and the power that it has and why God tells us to do it. And this is one example I'm trying to give you from this woman's life. Now, later on, what she discovered was, as she looked back on this experience, that when she would experience these headaches most intensely was when there was some issue relating to sex in some way. And one example was when she was shopping for clothing, and she was shopping for bras or things of that nature, and she would just have these terrible headaches. And the doctor related it back to this experience she had had with her father. And I find that very interesting and striking when you read the literature and you watch the shows on Larry King or whoever the commentator may be who deals with these issues. Oprah Winfrey is another example, where they will get people on those shows who've had these bad experiences in life. And once they come out and talk about them a bit, there's a power in that for that person. You may wonder, why is this person on national TV talking about that? But by doing that, they're ridding themselves of those demons, I'll call them, from that past life and those experiences that they've had. And so there's a reason why some folks need to do that. Now, I would suggest that you do it with people you really trust, of course. Okay, you don't want to go around telling everybody all these things because it may lead to some people looking at you funny, but I want you to understand why some people do it, because the power that has for that individual person in ridding them of all that stuff that's been building up over all those years until they finally let it go. And remember, everyone experiences things differently. For you, you may say, oh, you know, once I get rid of it, I'm done with it. But others will hold on to things for longer periods of time. And we need to be cognizant of the fact that we're not all the same in experiencing things and understanding things. Now, there's a term for this, and they call this catharsis. And it's uncovering and relieving early traumatic conflicts that you've had in life. And I'm going to give you one from my past, okay? And many of you know where I work. And where I work, a lot of people do wear trench coats when they go to work there, okay? I work for a government agency, and people wear those trench coats that you think of when you think of people who are, you know, officers for a certain government agency. So one day I was walking into work, and I saw another person wearing one of those goofy trench coats, as I called it. And my buddy was standing next to me, and he said, "Wow, you got a reaction to that guy's trench coat." And I thought about it for a moment, and I started to think about that for the rest of the day, and I was like, wow, I was kind of angry about that guy's trench coat, and I've always hated trench coats, and I never understood why. And so by taking seminars, reading some of these books, I started to think about that a little bit, and I remember something that happened when I was a kid. When I was a kid, about 7 years old, my mother dressed me up to go to church, and she put me in a suit and tie, which I didn't like to begin with. But then, right before we left for church, she pulled out this trench coat. And it was something else I didn't want to put on or wear. And I remember yelling, screaming. There was this big argument between me and my mother that morning. I can remember it to this day, like it was yesterday, because of the emotion that came out on that particular morning. And I said, is it possible that that's left over? That emotional reaction is left over from that experience. Because when you think of your past, what do you remember from your past? Do you remember everything? No. You remember the emotional experiences and those things that caused some charge in your life. And I believe that there really is something to looking at this and trying to deal with those types of issues. Now, what I want to do is I want to go to some scriptures in the Old Testament. Then we'll look at the New Testament. And I want to deal with the aspect of confession in Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5. I want to show you how God is telling us that this is real, that this matters, that we should be cognizant of this. And I want to begin in Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5. Leviticus 5 and verse 5. Here's what it says there. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. And as a penalty for the sin he has committed, he must bring to the Lord a female lamb or a goat from the flock as a sin offering. So we know that when they sinned, they brought offerings to the priest. The priest would sacrifice these animals. But notice what it says. When anyone is guilty, he must confess. And we know there's one mediator between man and God, and that's Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, confess to him. You don't have to confess to a priest or me. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about just getting it out there to God in prayer. Mentioning these things to God. Telling him. Pouring it out there like he's your friend. Like he's listening to you. Which he is. Which he is. But sometimes we don't really want to pour our souls out to God. But right here in the Bible, it's telling us to do that, that we must confess whatever these things are. And the Hebrew word here is phonetically yada, yada, Y-A-D-A-H. And you know what it means? It means literally to take something and throw it away from you, to just move something away from you, getting rid of it in that way. It means to bemoan, to cast, or to shoot away, okay, to get it away from you. And think about that from the story I just gave you about Patty, how once she threw that out there, got rid of that, it led to an opening for her in her mind. There was an opening now that she threw that out there and got rid of it. Notice Leviticus 16 and verse 21. Notice Leviticus 16 and 21. You wonder why they did a lot of these things in the Old Testament. You know, you read this and you go, what's with all this ceremonial stuff? You know, why all this ceremony and these different actions that they took? But if you look at Leviticus 16, 21, let's read it here. Here's what it says. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. Now again, this was done on atonement, okay? So they were getting rid of all those sins that Israel had done that whole year up until that day. And they were getting rid of the sins, moving them away from Israel. Where Israel was physically, the goat symbolically was ridding Israel of those sins, taking them away from the community. Get that picture in your mind of what I just said with yada, okay? Shoot it away, move it away, okay? And the sins are being moved away from Israel once again. That physical picture in your mind of movement away from, getting it out of where it was. Notice here in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. We're going to throw in a little twist here. Leviticus 26 and verse 40. But if they will confess their sins and the sins of their fathers, their treachery against me and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them, so that I sent them into the land of their enemies, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for their sin. Notice the little twist we're adding here is not only confessing your sins, but it says the sins of your fathers. Now, why is that important? Let me tell you another little story that is very interesting when I look at this scripture. I had a friend years ago, a young lady friend, and this young lady had gone through a lot in her early childhood. And once again, you know, you'll notice if you look at the statistics and read the literature on this, they say up to a third of women suffer some type of molestation before the age of 18. And why do I tell you that? Because I want to get rid of that kind of stuff. I want to do away with that stuff, and I want to have people open up to each other and let that stuff go. And when I heard that statistic, it blew me away that many people might experience that type of thing. And that we need to be cognizant of that and open to talking to people who might have experienced that type of thing. But getting back to my story with this young lady, her father had molested her when she was young. And she had never talked about it with her mother. She had never opened up to her mother about this big deal. And the father had committed suicide prior to me finding out about this. And also, she had almost killed herself at one point in her life. So it was all related back to the molestation from her father. So she had lived her life, almost killed herself. Her father killed herself because of what he had done. And now she was an adult, and she was never complete in the sense that she never talked to her mother about this. It was always a secret between her and her mother. Now just think about holding on to that type of thing. You know, the father committed suicide, and probably it had something to do with what he had done to her, okay? And, you know, the mother never knew about that. The mother knew that the father committed suicide, of course, but did she really know why he had committed suicide? And I know this is heavy stuff, okay, but you know what? Life is heavy, folks. Life is heavy, and we can't keep hiding these things, okay? When we open up to each other, we can start to make some progress with where we're going in life. Now, what happened eventually was, the point I wanted to make here with her was, I remember jogging with her one day, and I was wearing black socks that day, and she got really crazy about my black socks. Like, wow, you don't wear blacks. You know, she really got mad about the black socks. Now that I'm married, I understand the problem there, okay? But at the time, I just thought, wow, that's a heavy reaction to black socks. But there were some other times when she really reacted about things. And one particular time was with the rear view mirror in the car. And you know how you can flick the mirror to not get blared by the headlights behind you? Well, I didn't know that at that time in my life. And when she showed me that, she like freaked out that I didn't know that. She got really mad and angry. And I was trying to figure out, like, why is she so mad and angry about flicking this thing back and forth? You know, it was really like out of bounds from what the incident was, okay? Now, I can understand the black socks now, those of you women out there that are laughing at me right now. But I didn't get the flipping of the little mirror thing. And there were a number of other incidents like that where she really got mad and angry about something that I didn't get, like how it was that big of a deal. And I felt, and in talking to her, I believe this is true from what she told me, that part of that anger and that energy that came out of her was not having been complete on that issue. Not having talked to her mother or been finally complete on that issue. She went through counseling, she got herself together in a lot of ways, and she was doing well, but she was not completely complete because she had never talked to her mother, at least in my estimation. And I don't think that I should tell anyone, you should do this or you should do that. That's for a person to make that decision on their own. But I'm just saying that just my experience of that was that some of that reaction and that anger could have been that she had not completed on that. Where our example of Patty earlier in this discussion, we saw that Patty did complete on it. She did start to get that out there, and her headaches dissipated. She got better. She didn't have that anger welling up inside of her. Now, take a look at another scripture in Numbers chapter 5. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 7. Numbers 5 and verse 7. Here's what it says there. I'll begin in verse 5. Numbers 5, verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong. Add one-fifth to it and give it all to the person he has wronged. Now you see this application here, not only in the confession of sin, but if you had done something monetarily against someone else, you had to make restitution for that. But think about the scripture in the New Testament that says when you have an issue with your brother, what do? You go to your brother about that particular issue and discuss it with them. Because it's trying to keep it all right then and there, all tightly wound in that ball and get it over with, get it done with, get it taken care of. And you see this throughout the Old Testament of people confessing, of people doing this, the sacrifice of the animal for whatever sin they did, giving restitution for the sins they did. But it's all being completed in a sense. There's nothing hanging out. There's nothing on the edge here. It's getting done from God's law, or at least God stating that it should be done in this way. Get this done. Get this over with. Get it complete. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Over and over and over, we see those examples. Now, getting back to my jogging, when I was talking about that, those of you who do exercise or get out there and sweat in the summertime, whatever you may be doing, you know that you're sweating because you're expending energy and stuff is coming out of your body, okay? What is that stuff that's coming out of your body? That sweat, okay? It's basically garbage in a sense, okay? It's stuff that your body doesn't really need at that particular point. Your body's cleansing itself, getting rid of that sweat, cleaning you out in one way. Now, let's take that a little bit further and think about what we eat each day. Okay, and when we eat something, we drink something, you know, we have to get rid of something too. We take in the good stuff and we get rid of the bad stuff. But that bad stuff comes out, right? Okay, it comes out and it goes away. Think of that in the sense of your mind, okay? And when you hear things, when you see things, when you experience things, if you just keep it all in there, and you never get that out in some way, don't you think your mind's going to get a little bit toxic? Doesn't it make sense when we look at that analogy relating to human waste? I believe it fits. It fits, I believe. And when you look at the literature, when you study what I've been looking at, you find that that analogy fits for why people get into mental problems and mental issues. Now, there may be reasons that people have mental problems relating to genes and things of that nature. I'm not being all-encompassing in what I'm saying today, okay? I know there's other reasons and things relating to this, but I'm looking at one particular pathway here today relating to your past and the things that happened to you and getting that out there and getting rid of it. Look at Matthew 5. And verse 23 on this point, just for a moment. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 23. Notice Jesus' discussion about the law here. Notice what he says in Matthew 5 and verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So they would bring these gifts to the altar, but he's saying, hey, what's more important than that is getting right with your brother even before you leave that gift there. Even before you do this religious act, get right with your brother. Because that's all about love, folks. That's all about what God is that relationship with you and you and you and you and with each other. It's not just the religious acts that we got to do. You know, they had to sacrifice those animals, of course. They had to do this, they had to do that, and that's all important. That's all important. But what he's saying here is, he's kind of saying prioritize this. That if you go and you got this issue that's still on your mind, you know, you're going there and you got this problem with your brother, get that resolved first. That is more of a priority than getting this act done. It's right there in Scripture. It's right there in Scripture, folks. Notice Psalm 32. Psalm 32. David had a lot of issues. David had a lot of issues. And notice what he says here in Psalm 32. It's very interesting in this discussion. Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And remember what we read about sins in the Old Testament there. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. Verse 2. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Notice verse 3. Here's the kicker. When I kept silent. Now get the relationship here to those earlier scriptures. He's talking about sin. He's talking about the fact that his sins are covered. He's talking about the fact that God isn't looking on his sins anymore. But notice what he says in verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When he kept silent about what? About his sin. About not confessing it to God. Verse 4. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. David had God's Spirit, okay? David's having God's Spirit helped him understand what he should be doing. Your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, I'm not saying that, folks. That's right in your Bible, okay? It's showing you the power of confession, of acknowledgement to God. That when you do that, you just lay it out there. Don't hold it in. Let it go. When you lay it out there to God, your bones aren't going to ache anymore. You aren't going to feel that stuff that Patty felt, those headaches, those problems, those issues. You're ridding yourself of that, and God is letting it go for you. Because God said he does away with it all. If we can believe him, it's all gone. It doesn't matter anymore. So says God. It doesn't matter anymore. We let it go. Go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Let's look more now at the acknowledgement side of this. We looked at the confession side a little bit. Now let's look at the acknowledgement in being complete, in sticking with our theme of being complete today. And I want to focus on Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now this is heavy, okay? Because we're all believers, okay? But there's more to just believing. There's action you gotta take, okay? And we know what some of those actions are, but here it's talking about acknowledging Jesus Christ in front of others when those opportunities are there. Now, I'm not saying that we all got to go out on the street corner and acknowledge Jesus Christ every day. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when the opportunities are there, if we hide it, you got to watch that. You got to watch hiding what you really believe when the opportunity is right there in front of you. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Many of you know George Ramacon, the deacon from Jamaica. His mother recently died. And I was at the funeral, which was last Wednesday, in Baltimore, Maryland. And so George was doing the eulogy, and you got to get the scene here. His mother used to be part of a very strong Baptist church. And most of his family is very strong in other evangelical Christian churches who don't believe as we do. So you had a crowd, and it was a big crowd of people there, who don't believe as we do on what happens when you die. And some of the folks that got up there to give a 2-minute message were talking about her being in heaven and, you know, she's okay in heaven and everything's fine, et cetera, et cetera. You know what they say. And he had to give the message. And, you know, understand that his family's out there who doesn't believe as he does. You know, I was there. There are a few people that believed as he did there. But when he got up to give the message, he said, I was going to give 2 messages today, or I prepared 2 messages. One message was the politically correct message, and the other one was what I knew my mother would want me to say. And he said what his mother would want him to say because she believed as we did. And some people walked out. I saw some of the Baptist contingent as he was getting into what happens when you die. They walked out. And I know it was right at the time he was talking about that. And he's a good speaker, so I know it wasn't him. I know it was interesting that it happened right at that time. And that was interesting to see that and also acknowledge the fact that he did something that's hard for him because he likes to keep the peace. But sometimes you have to acknowledge what you believe when the opportunity is there, especially when the opportunity is there. You know, I'm not telling you got to go out there and get people throwing rocks and sticks at you because you're running around in an evangelical church parking lot telling them different things. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you're in regular life and these opportunities are presented to you, you got to take advantage of them and confess what you really believe. Now, take a look with me at Luke 12 and verse 8. Luke 12 and verse 8. Luke 12 and verse 8. What do we read here in Luke 12 verse 8? I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. It's repeated in your Bible, okay? It's there once again. We need to be aware of that scripture. Turn with me over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10. And verse 9, here's what we read in Romans 10 and 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now we always hear, you know, confess Jesus, you know. But notice that it says something here with your mouth, okay? Does that just mean that you're in some corner somewhere and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, you know, over in this corner all by yourself? Or could there be more to this, like we read over in Matthew and Luke, where that you confess this and acknowledge this to others? I mean, how can you acknowledge this unless others are around, okay? How can you confess it unless there's somebody you're confessing to? Okay? You can confess to God, of course. You can acknowledge to God. But he's telling us more than that here, that he wants us to open up to others. I'll give you an example when I didn't do this. And I give it to you because I want you to think about an example where maybe you didn't do it in your life. And this was back in about mid-90s. And I was working in Johnstown, Pennsylvania at another government agency for a 2-year rotation. And so we went out to lunch one day, a group of people in the office, and it was right around Christmas time. And people were just talking around the table about Christmas and things like that. And you know how it is when all your friends are talking about Christmas, you get that funny feeling inside. So everybody was saying, oh, I got my Christmas tree here, and I got an artificial tree this year. And each person that was going around the table, like everyone was saying about their Christmas tree. So I noticed that the table was moving towards me. And as we got around the table, I just didn't say anything. You know, I didn't say anything about a tree or the fact that I didn't keep Christmas and here's why. And, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. I didn't say anything. You know, I just kept eating. Well, you know, when food's around, I usually do keep eating. So I did have an excuse. But really, I didn't have an excuse. I didn't have an excuse. I had a perfect opportunity to say something, to acknowledge what I believe in a really easy environment. Because, like, that's what the topic was. And it would be like, you know what? I didn't have to get a tree. You know, I could have said it like that, jokingly. I didn't have to get a tree. We don't believe in, you know, Christmas and blah, 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 and this is why, et cetera, et cetera. Very, you know, that would have nonplussed everybody. They would have heard it. No big deal. But I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. And later that day, I thought about it the whole day. I thought about it the whole day. And I beat myself up in my head by not acknowledging Jesus Christ in that public forum that I had to acknowledge him. You know? And then I felt funny, like David said. I can relate to what David said in Psalm 32 because I felt funny the rest of the day. Why was I feeling funny? Because I have the Holy Spirit in me. And it's trying to get out and get into this world and tell people what God's doing. And I didn't do it. I failed there. And I'm telling you that because we all fail. But you know what? I've done it in some other circumstances now that some people thought I was crazy or off the wall. So, you know, you do have your opportunities. Take them. Take them when they are available to you. Now, you heard me say, you know, don't go off in a corner to do this confessing thing or this acknowledging thing. And then you've heard me say also that you don't want to go blabbing everything all over the place so people think that you're off base or something. You want to do it in a structured kind of way when the opportunities are there, when you can do it, when the chance is available. But notice the book of James, James chapter 5. I want to show you another scripture. And we've looked at a number of scriptures today. There are others that we have not looked at that deal with this theme. But notice James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 13. James chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13 of James 5. It says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, we always hear about the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You know, you must have faith when you pray. We've all heard those phrases before. But notice the extra point that's in here. Notice verse 16 again. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Is there something important about saying this to each other? Is there something important about getting with your brother or sister and opening up? Now, I'm not saying that we should talk to everybody in church about every problem and every issue that we have. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that we maybe need to do a little more than we're doing. We have an opportunity coming up with the spring holy days right now. We're going to have the night to be much observed. And usually that's meal time. We get together, we have fellowship. You know, maybe it's a good time to start building stronger relationships with each other too. That maybe at this particular night to be much observed, when you have the opportunity and you're talking to somebody over on the side about something, whatever it may be, that maybe you just go a little bit further than you usually go. Maybe open up just a little bit more than you usually open up about something, whatever that something may be, for someone who you know you can trust and you can relate with. Now, I'm not telling everybody to do that with everybody because you don't all know each other the same way. So you got to be cognizant of how you do this, of course. This isn't a Jerry Springer show thing or something like that. I think that may be the wrong way to do it. Okay, that's the wrong way to do it. But I'm not saying this, folks. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. You know, we're going on that camping trip with the Infused people. We're going on that retreat with the Infused people. What happened with Infused last year at Myrtle Beach, I saw things happening that I hadn't seen with the Infused program in the past. And part of it, I think, was the fact that people had been bonding over a couple years now. And they were getting to know each other, and they were opening up a little bit more. And maybe part of it was that there were more people there too, there was more of an energy. But as we get to build these relationships through activities. You know, by coming to church every week. You know, some people say, I can listen to my tape at home. That's true. You can listen to your tape at home, but do you learn as much at home as you do here? Because somebody here might say, you know what? On that point, you know, after services, Mike, you know, you mentioned this, but did you ever think about that? I've heard so many times after I'm done with the sermon, how about this scripture for that sermon? And I'm like, wow, that scripture fits right into that sermon. Thanks. And I write it down, and then when I go to Ohio, I throw it in, okay? Because when I'm down in Washington, I don't necessarily have it. So if you got some ideas, let me know after services that I could throw them into this particular sermon. But the point I'm trying to make here is when you hear these stories, for example, that person I knew in the past, that young lady I was telling you about, whose father had committed suicide, and the experience that she had growing up, and all of that. By learning that, I learn things about other people I deal with now in the future. I see things sometimes when I talk to people, it's like, boom, it reminds me of something. And I'm not saying I should connect this person to that person or anything like that. But you'll notice similarities about people who've gone through similar experiences. And boom, you can pick those things out sometimes. And then you're more cognizant of where that person may be and how you may couch what you're saying to them. Because I had an experience recently where someone in the Infuse program had sent me an email. And they said they were having trouble having children. And they came to our fee site, then they went to another fee site. And this isn't anything about other churches or anything like that. I'm not making any statement about that. I'm just relating a story. When she went to this other site, one of the people there, because she hadn't had a child in a long time, she'd been trying for 10 years. And what happened was, one of the people there mentioned something to her, and it caused her to have a reaction to it. And what I'm getting at here is the fact that we are not aware of where people are sometimes can lead us to say things that we shouldn't say sometimes. And so that's where I'm coming from. That when we deal with each other one-on-one and get to know each other much better, we then can understand each other much better and we won't be saying things that we shouldn't be saying sometimes. So that's where I'm coming from in relating that particular example. Now, in starting to wind things down, I want to take a look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. Once again, if we confess our sins, folks, if we confess our sins. There was a story some years ago, about 20 years ago now, where a fella, his name was Caputo, and he had killed about four women 20 years prior to his confession. So think about this. He went along through life for 15 to 20 years knowing that he had killed these women. And he lived with that all those years. But when he got to this 15th year, something just clicked inside of him where he had to come out with it. He had to open up and go to the police and confess about what he had done. And I feel that that's that little germ that God has in all of us, or most of us, I'd say. There are some folks out there who are sociopaths that don't feel anything. But this particular fella, he had done this very heinous act. He couldn't live with himself. He had to finally get it out there. And he went to jail, but you know what? He's probably appreciating life a little bit more in jail than he was outside because he knew where he was going to go once he confessed this. But he had to throw it out. He had to get rid of it. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 15. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives him and he in God. But acknowledgement is more than just saying something, folks, okay? When you acknowledge something, you are living a lifestyle. You are going a certain way. And acknowledging Jesus, confessing him in front of others, doing what he said to do, that's being complete in your belief in Jesus. You know, people talk a talk sometimes, but we need to walk the walk. We need to acknowledge what we believe and actually live what we believe. We need to open up, we need to talk, we need to express ourselves to each other and then to the world, because Christianity is not supposed to be hidden under a rock, okay? God isn't wanting us to hide from the world and hide from each other. And you know, I can tell you, when I was a kid, I was kind of a loner. You know, it wasn't easy for me to get out there and be among people all the time. I'm of Greek ancestry, so maybe that has something to do with having something inside of me that lets me get out there a little bit more. But from my teen years, I wasn't the type that was really out there, okay? And it was due to the fact that a lot of my friends were getting involved in drinking and smoking and things of that nature. So I kind of lost that socialization that you have in your teens, because my mother's control over me was much greater than my friend's control over me. So I was kind of a loner in a sense. And so that's the time where you get out there and you're talking to people and getting involved with people during your teen years. So it was hard for me to finally get out there and get involved with people. But through various experiences through God, I've been able, as many of you are probably laughing, saying, "You're way out there, Mike, sometimes." So I understand that in this particular arena. But like one-on-one, let's say, it's not always been that easy for me to be out there. And I'm making a little confession to you right now, trying to open up a little. I'm telling you guys to open up. Well, let me open up a little bit for you to show you how to do it. So what I'm saying is, during my teen years, I was kind of the loner, you know, reading books and things like that, which was a good thing because it got me into studying the Bible and led me here. So that was good. Maybe God had a plan for my mother's control. But to make a long story short, it stunted my socialization process with teens, with people my age, you know, dates and things of that nature, okay? But I've made a comeback in my later life here. So I'm telling you this to just let you know, you can do it too. You can throw that little bit out there about yourself to help others relate to you, okay? And then when they relate to you, it's easier to get that back and forth going. Then it's easier to tell somebody a problem that they have or some issue that's bothering you about them, like your family, okay? It's easy to talk to your family about whatever, right? In most cases. I wouldn't say all families, again, I'm speaking in general terms, but it's much easier to get real with your family then get real with your friend or get real with your coworker or somebody else. But when you get real, why do they call it getting real? Because you're letting all that stuff go and you're just getting down and dirty to what really matters about life, what really matters about what you're involved in and that sort of thing. So as we go into this new holy day season, be thinking about this, because it's a time of reflection. We need to examine ourselves before we take the bread and the wine. We need to be thinking about ourselves, what we can do to improve ourselves. And hopefully, as we think about some of the stories I gave you today, some of the scriptures that we've looked at today, we will be able to become more complete.